We are back, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on? This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Happy Saturday, and what a Saturday it was for not only the Eagles, but NFL fans in general, as all teams were required today by 4 o'clock to meet the 53-man roster requirements, going down from 90 players all the way to 53, and we have initial reactions right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you, as always, Gino Camilleri. He's out in Erie, PA right now on a wedding, so having a good time out there in Erie at this wedding this weekend. So Gino has the weekend off, but I'm here for you, and we got a lot of takeaways to get into because the Eagles made their moves, getting down from 90 to 53. A former Eagle, the all-time Eagles leading rusher, LeSean McCoy, was released, so we'll get into that. Jadeveon Clowney was traded, and no, it was not to the Philadelphia Eagles. So there was it was a busy Saturday when it came to headlines. I mean, Houston made two trades actually today, as they also traded an offensive lineman for Carlos Hyde, who is now going from Kansas City to Houston to be the number two next to Duke Johnson. So they're kind of bringing back the old Cleveland Browns duo. So it was, again, just a very eventful Saturday as college football also kicked off today. It was really like the NFL season, it kicks off officially Thursday, Packers, Bears, and then Sunday is the pure chaos. But it was a nice little tune-up this weekend to get all these headlines going, to kind of prepare us for all the activity that will officially hit us on Thursday, and then it's smooth sailing from there up until February. And just to get into here in this first segment, we got to hit on what the Eagles did here to get down to 53. And the first thing I noticed when the Eagles released it was Jalen Mills is reserved on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. And with the PUP list, once you're placed on it for the regular season, you're not allowed to come back until the first 6 weeks of the year. So for the people out there, and we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, what they're going to do at the cornerback position, there is your answer at left cornerback, because we know Darby is going to be the right outside starting corner. You know Avante Maddox is going to be the slot guy. And then it was down to, okay, is it Rasul Douglas? Is it Sidney Jones? Is Jalen Mills on the verge of returning? And if so, will Jim Schwartz put one of his favorite players on the team back into the starting lineup despite what Mills and Sidney Jones have shown? It was a back and forth conversation, but I think we have our answer here, at least for, you know, one of those players has been knocked off the conversation, with Mills being out for the first 6 weeks. It looks like it's now down to Rasul Douglas or Sidney Jones for the starting left corner spot. And another key player that was part of that, you know, Mills was the starting corner in the 2017 Super Bowl roster, and another left side starter, Steven Wisniewski, left guard. He was also released today by the Philadelphia Eagles. And this one actually comes as more of a surprise, if you ask me, because so now Big V is your primary backup guard. He's going to probably start week one at right guard for Brandon Brooks. Then when Brooks returns, Big V is your start. You're pretty much your primary swing offensive line backup. He won't be the primary backup at left tackle, I would say. It would probably be Andre Dillard. But Big V's probably your number one backup at right tackle, right guard, and left guard. Three of the five spots. So, yeah, Wisniewski, which that's one of two undrafted players that the Eagles did keep. They also kept linebacker TJ Edwards. So Wisniewski, I don't know if I agree with this one, though, to be honest with you. I know Wiz had a really bad summer, and he really flopped at the move to center. Just could not snap the football this year. But in the regular season in 2017 and in the playoffs, and then last year in limited fashion in the regular season, Wiz
showed
he can still
be a part of this
offensive line.
Nate Herbig,
he can still, he doesn't have to be a liability. And the fact that now you have Big V, sure, I really like what I saw from Big V this summer, but Big V and then Matt Pryor is your other backup at guard. It sounds like the Eagles really do believe in the youth that they have right now backing up this starting offensive line, and at the same time probably very discouraged by Wisniewski's summer. Reports have, you know, flown all summer that he has just not been very good at all. So that was a surprise, though, for sure. I mean, Mills going on PUP wasn't, but definitely Wisniewski not being on this roster is quite surprising. Other things, I mean, I'm actually pretty proud of myself for the 53-man roster I put together. Running back, they kept four, as I suspected. I was holding out hope And let me say, at Fly64 on Twitter, the leader of the Smallwood Hive, audience of one, member of one of this brand, as someone that is leading, I'd like to consider myself one of the leaders of the Free Sewell movement, the Free Rasul Douglas movement, as someone that's big into a Eagles player that isn't necessarily a core piece of the puzzle, although I think Douglas could be eventually and should be, I relate to you. Props to you for sticking to your convictions, and I thought Wendell Smallwood was going to find a way to weasel his way onto this roster. When you look at Boston Scott got waived, it was first Josh Adams, actually, then Boston Scott, and you're thinking, it's just Wendell Smallwood. Are they going to keep a fifth running back? Is he going to find a way to get back onto this 53-man roster? And they cut ties with Wendell Smallwood today as well. So, thank God. You know, that it just goes to show you, Adams and Smallwood both released today, and both players were your lead to running backs in 2018. It just goes to show you why I was so obsessed with adding a running back. I mean, you guys know, for our repeated listeners, throughout the draft process and free agency and speculating about trades, even at the trade deadline last season, I was adamant about bringing in a running back, and it was because of how, I mean, Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, that was such a disastrous 1-2 punch, and it was by necessity because Jay Ajayi got hurt and Clement got hurt and Sproles. That was supposed to be your trio. But at the same time, I mean, oh, miserable to be someone evaluating the running backs for the Eagles. So they're both cut. So is Boston Scott. He's waived. We'll see if they can stash him on the practice squad. On offense as well, another takeaway, they only kept two tight ends. I talked about this with Gino, actually, at the beginning of this week. I asked him, is there a scenario, because they do like to use 12 personnel so much, is there a way that they, because you need to keep maybe an extra body at corner or linebacker, yes, they like to use 12 personnel, but Perkins, I mean, Will Ty, Richard Rodgers placed on IR today, so he was going to be injured. He wouldn't be an option, although he would have been the favorite. Is it worth, just for having another tight end on the roster, is it worth keeping Will Ty or Joshua Perkins? And I had them keeping Perkins, but right now on the roster, only Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert make the 53. Don't expect that to last for long, though. I think depending on who is available on waivers in the free agent pool, I think the Eagles still do plan on bringing in another tight end for sure, but right now they only have two, and they didn't really go heavy on offense at all, at least for the skill positions. You know, they only kept three quarterbacks, Wentz, McCown, and Sudfeld. Clayton Thorson was waived. What a terrible fifth-round pick that was. Five wide receivers, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, Arthego Whiteside, and Mac Hollins. So no Greg Ward, no Mark and Michelle. Those guys don't make the cut. Carlton Agudosi, I tip my hat to you, good sir. The Ifeanyi Moma of 2019 does not make the cut. Greg Ward, I don't know what else you can do if you're Greg Ward. I mean, he had a great summer, he had a great training camp, he had a great preseason, he made plays. But I think it just came down to, as I said on the show this week, it's a numbers game, and it just came down to the Eagles wanted to keep other positions more so on, they really went heavy on the defensive side because that's really where the injuries have come the past couple years, and that's where I think they need the depth more, and with how they use rotations, they needed more players on defense for sure than offense. So, I mean, they kept the 10 offensive linemen I projected outside of, I had Wisniewski in there. Nate Herbig is actually the guy, the 21-year-old interior offensive lineman is the one they keep. But outside of that, I mean, they kept four backs. Thank God they didn't actually keep Smallwood. I give them a lot of credit because I thought they were going to end up keeping him and wasting a spot, if you ask me. I thought that would have been a waste. So good for them to realize that that was a misuse of a roster spot. And receiver, you know, I mean, what can you do if you're Greg Ward? But I also projected them to keep five receivers. So not a lot of crazy takeaways on the offensive side of the ball outside of, thank the Lord, we don't have to see Wendell Smallwood carry the ball for 3 yards anymore. And also at tight end, only keeping two tight ends for now, though. I would expect that they will find another body there to add on the 53, because even you see last year, you know, during that Colts game week 3, a lot of the time they were actually using 13 personnel. They were using Ertz, they were using Goddard, and they were also using Perkins over the first few weeks of the season. So that's the offensive side of the ball. Getting into the defensive side of the official and the initial 53-man roster, they did keep six defensive ends. I told Gino, I thought that was, it was just Deshaun Hall. You cannot have four sacks and three strip sacks in Deshaun Hall's preseason, a former third-round pick. that kind of production and not keep him on, especially when you could use a fourth defensive end in this rotation. But at the same time, they were not going to cut Josh Sweat, who was a fourth-round pick just 2 years ago, or Sharif Miller, who you just spent a fourth-round pick on. And if they ended up releasing their fourth-round pick this year and a fifth-round pick in a draft class of only five players, that would have been a bad look for sure. And Miller showed some promise in the summer. So they went heavy on six defensive ends here. They only kept four defensive tackles, as I projected, but I actually had them keeping Trayvon Hester, the hero of the Eagles-Bears wild card weekend last year, tipping the Cody Parkey field goal attempt to win the game, and it ended up resulting in the double doink that sent the Eagles to the second round. Well, Hester, although he made some plays in the preseason, the Eagles choose Hassan Ridgeway instead, and the Eagles actually gave up a draft pick, I want to say it was a seventh-round pick last year for Hassan Ridgeway, another guy that made some plays this year, but they're not going as heavy on defensive tackle this year. They only went with four, Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan, and Malik Jackson, and then Ridgeway, and they went heavier on defensive end, which I like that idea anyway, because Brandon Graham can play defensive tackle. I think Vinnie Curry could do it as well, and you have Jernigan as your primary backup anyway at DT. So only four defensive tackles. They go heavy on pass rushers on the edge. Linebacker, they also went heavier on. And I told Gino this was going to happen. Gino was someone more so that wanted to go heavy on safeties. And while I agreed with his philosophy, and they did right now. So they did keep five safeties. They kept Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, Andrew Sandejo, Jonathan Cyprian, and Rudy Ford. Expect Rudy Ford to get cut. I think when they bring in a third tight end, that's when you're going to see Rudy Ford get the axe, which means the Eagles would only have four safeties. But they kept six linebackers. They ended up keeping both Nathan Geary, who a lot of people thought might get cut. I didn't think so just because he's a Jim Schwartz guy. They kept him. They also kept undrafted linebacker TJ Edwards. So it looked like the hot performance in the preseason did pay off for Edwards. And they did need bodies there for sure, because Nigel Bradham might miss the first week or two of the regular season. Kamu Grugier-Hill is going to miss at least the first, I want to say, month and a half. And then outside of that, you had the only healthy bodies you have currently at linebacker on the interior, you know, traditional linebackers, is Zach Brown, LJ Fort, and then you decide between Geary and or TJ Edwards and Alex Singleton, and they ended up choosing Edwards over Singleton. So they keep six linebackers. They went lighter on corner, which I was pretty surprised about, but at the same time, like they waived Orlando Scandrick. So they ended up carrying, because you cannot place Craven LeBlanc on the PUP. If a player practices at all during the summer, you cannot place them on the PUP. So that's why they were able to place Mills on the list, but not Craven. So Craven takes up a spot. Then you have your starting three of Darby, Avante Maddox, and then either Jones or Douglas. Then whoever the primary backup is between Douglas and Jones is the fourth corner. And then the fifth one right now is Craven. And then outside of that, they have Mills and the PUP. So heading into week one, they only have four healthy corners. So, you know, some interesting moves the Eagles decided to do, but maybe that's a good thing when it comes to the recovery time of Craven LeBlanc. Maybe the injury isn't going to last nearly as long as the one Jalen Mills is dealing with right now, which is going on what? I mean, almost a year at this point, 10 months, considering he got injured in December last year against Jacksonville. So the Eagles keep only five corners, only four healthy. Maybe they'll end up, who knows, maybe they will only carry two tight ends and they'll carry a sixth corner, depending on, you know, waivers is happening right now. So although this is the initial 53-man roster, you are not safe in the NFL, even if you made the initial first wave of cuts. You know, they got it down, sure, they cut 47 players, but for guys like Rudy Ford, I wouldn't feel too safe quite yet, especially considering they only are carrying two tight ends and four healthy cornerbacks. You know, guys like that are not safe, especially considering they have to reserve three spots already for their kicker, punter, and long snapper. All right, so there are my initial takeaways from the Eagles' official 53-man roster. When we come back, I want to get into LeSean McCoy was waived today by the Buffalo Bills. He was released. So the all-time leading rusher in Eagles history is a free agent, and we've talked about reunions for years now. One of them actually happened with DeSean Jackson. I do want to get into that and, you know, talk about whether the Eagles would consider it, what's next for McCoy. Also, Jadeveon Clowney was traded today to a team that it does have a bird as their logo, but it was not the Philadelphia Eagles. Got to get into that. And also, Jordan Matthews. So last thing here before we take a break. Jordan Matthews was cut by the Niners. So there goes your fourth round compensatory pick that you would have got for Golden Tate. Looks like right now the Eagles will only get one comp pick, and that is a third round pick for Nick Foles signing with Jacksonville because they did keep Anderson Dejo and LJ Fort. All right, Louis DiBiase joining you on this Locked On Eagles podcast. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. LeSean McCoy talk coming up next. All right, everybody, we are back. Louis DiBiase here on the Saturday edition. Just trying to recap, get everything in a nutshell for you today if you missed any of the crazy roster activity around the NFL. And with the Eagles, they get to their 53-man roster. You can check out the full roster and all their cuts on the Eagles official website. Also on Twitter, I am tweeting about it right now at DiBiaseLOE, and we'll get that tweeted out as well on our show page at Lockdown Birds. But a former Eagle, a beloved Eagle, someone that his number will probably get retired considering he's the all-time leading rusher, LeSean McCoy, was released in surprising fashion today by the Buffalo Bills after 4 years there, helping them end that 17-year playoff drought. It was the most, I would say, unexpected yet expected thing because the Bills did draft Devin Singletary in the third round. They do have Frank Gore there, who they brought in this offseason. They also signed TJ Yeldon in June. So here they were with three established running backs, or two, and then one with a lot of upside in Devin Singletary behind LeSean McCoy. But at the same time, the Bills made it known that they still thought McCoy was the starter. But with how good Singletary was, and Yeldon showed some promise, and Frank Gore still chugging along, you know, former Eagles legend Frank Gore, they decided to release McCoy and save the $6 million that they did by releasing him. So now here's McCoy, a 30-plus-year-old running back, on the open market with the first time in his career to choose where he wants to go. And by the way, this is why guys like Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott, I shouldn't say Melvin Gordon as much because I don't think it's justified that he's holding out, but guys like Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell, it's why guys like that hold out, because here's McCoy now in his 30s, right? Finally gets a chance to choose his own team, and now people think he's at the tail end of his career. So that just goes to show how crazy, you know, how much team control franchises have in the NFL. But anyway, with McCoy, no, I do not think, and because I know what you're all thinking, and I knew what you were all thinking initially when he was released, because it's been the same thought process that's hit my head the past 3 years, ever since Chip Kelly traded away LeSean McCoy, he released DeSean Jackson, and he let Jeremy Maclin walk. Anytime one of these guys is available, whether it's through a trade at the deadline, whether it's through free agency, you always go back to, does it work in Philadelphia? Does a reunion happen? Yes, on paper, from a fan perspective, to have LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson, two fan favorites, two of the most electric offensive players in the Eagles' history, having them both return to try to win a ring and finish the incomplete journey that they took in Philadelphia that was abruptly ended by Chip Kelly. Yeah, having them try to wrap that up together in the same season is an awesome storyline. It is things of dreams that you just don't think would actually become a reality. In reality, this is not a move the Eagles are going to make. It's not happening, simply. And for me, look, you guys know, I've been all in on DeSean Jackson coming back, and now that he's back with the Eagles, I think it was a great move, and it made perfect sense, not only from a feel-good standpoint of doing right by him and, you know, that unfinished business narrative, but at the same time, it made football sense. The Eagles needed a burner. They needed a deep threat, a run after the catch guy that could keep two safeties back and open things up for Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz and give Carson Wentz that deep threat that they tried to get him in Torrey Smith and Mike Wallace, right? It made sense. From a football standpoint, bringing back LeSean McCoy does not make any sense. You bring in Jordan Howard, you draft Miles Sanders in the second round. It's kind of the same scenario. Why the Eagles wouldn't keep or bring in McCoy is why the Bills released him. Because the Bills, like the Eagles, drafted a guy in the top three rounds who they really like, who is very similar to McCoy. Singletary and Miles Sanders are the two running backs this year that looked very similar to LeSean McCoy. So you have that. You have Jordan Howard, who you already brought in. You have Darren Sproles, who you brought back. And you have Corey Clement still. So you already have four guys. It's a crowded backfield as it is. And yes, do I think LeSean McCoy is still better than Jordan Howard? I do. For what it's worth, I would take LeSean McCoy over Jordan Howard. If I could trade Jordan Howard to Houston before they traded for Carlos Hyde, I would have personally done that. But with all the players they have already in the backfield, it was never going to happen for them. And even from McCoy's perspective, sure, does a part of him want to come back? Yes, I don't think McCoy ever wanted to leave. I don't think he ever mentally, emotionally left the city of Philadelphia. I mean, you saw it when he kissed the logo when he came back to Philadelphia playing against the Eagles with the Bills in 2015. This city, it means the world to him. This organization meant the world to him. It's why him and Macklin went to the game, the divisional round game against the Atlanta Falcons in 2017. He was at that game. So yes, a part of him, I'm sure the emotional side, wants to come back, and especially with DeSean Jackson back, he wants to come back and finish things off the right way. But there's also a side of LeSean McCoy that still wants to be a starter, that still believes he can be one of the best backs in the league, a guy that wants to reach that 12,000-yard rushing goal of his, which he's right now about a little over 1,300 yards shy of. There's a part of him that's going to follow that. He's going to want to play. And I'm sure he's going to want some money too, which the Eagles are just, they're not going to offer him any sort of sizable contract. So I think more so likely scenarios are, while it's not good for my Darwin Thompson brand, maybe he rejoins Andy Reid and plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? They traded Carlos Hyde today, so they have Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson. I could imagine that Andy Reid would want to upgrade that position and bring in a guy that he knows can be an elite running back. Even if he can't be that anymore, he's only 2 years removed from having 1,600 yards from scrimmage in 2017, the year the Bills ended the playoff drought. So I could see the Chiefs. I could see Tampa Bay with how bad their backfield is. I could see LA right now as they're fielding calls for Melvin Gordon. I don't know if there's anybody else that... Well, it would have been Houston, I would have said, before they traded for Carlos Hyde. So earlier today, I would have said the Texans. But there are other opportunities for McCoy elsewhere that'll actually give him playing time. And yeah, sure, I'll take him and you'll keep five running backs. But that's just too crowded. And, you know, you just won't have enough carries for everybody. And you don't place a second-round value on Miles Sanders and then bring in LeSean McCoy. You know, I mean, if you planned on saying, hey, we could get a sixth-round pick, a fifth-round pick for Jordan Howard from Houston and maybe a player, and, you know, we can move Howard and we can bring in McCoy, absolutely. I mean, I would be all for that, but... You know, McCoy's not coming back to Philly, unfortunately. You know, I would say probably in March, if we were doing this in March, if the Bills did this when they were planning on drafting a running back, when they were planning on signing Frank Gore and TJ Yeldon, if they would have released McCoy then I would have said, hey, let's do it. Let's bring in LeSean McCoy and let's draft a Miles Sanders, and that'll be your 1-2 punch with Corey Clement as your third back. Just the timing is not right anymore. The timing... It's 4 months too late, for sure. The Eagles went all in on re-bolstering this running back group after last year having to deal with Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood, who were both cut today. They committed to this position, bringing in Howard and Sanders and convincing Darren Sproles not to retire and having Corey Clement back. Those four running backs are a significant upgrade over what they had last year, so... Again, yeah, maybe in March, maybe at the trade deadline last year, if the Bills weren't asking for, a day two pick, or even in 2017 when they tried trading for him before they traded for Jay Ajayi, the Bills just wanted too much. And while that's probably on the Bills now, they probably wish they would have did those deals now. It's not going to work now for the Eagles, and the reunion was close a few times. And again, yes, from a fan perspective, it would be awesome, I won't lie. But it just does not make sense from a football standpoint whatsoever. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take one final break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's edition of the podcast. Just trying to organize everything for you today, because I know Twitter can be very overwhelming with all the roster moves, you know, all these cuts by the Eagles, the instant analysis, the LeSean McCoy news, Eagles fans and media alike were all over that. And then also the Jadeveon Clowney trade that we're going to get into coming up next, because the Eagles were linked with Clowney for a couple weeks now, for sure, as the Texans have been shopping their 26-year-old pass rusher, who is now in Seattle with the Seattle Seahawks. We'll get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So I am back, Louis DiBiase, Saturday edition of the show, wrapping up the week, and then we'll get into next week. It's game week, ladies and gentlemen. We have 4 to 5. It's going to be 5 podcasts, just a little spoiler here. We'll have 5 podcasts this week for you as we gear up for the Eagles taking on the Washington Redskins at Lincoln Financial Field next Sunday at 1 o'clock. I cannot wait. Football season is finally here. But we had one last week of the acquisition season, right? I would still like to say the offseason, because the preseason was very uneventful for the Eagles this year. So it was more so still about you know, how the 53 is going to shape up, how the depth chart. We were still speculating with trades and that kind of stuff. And the big trade that we were speculating about was a potential one for Jadeveon Clowney. Well, Clowney ends up playing for a team he did want to play for. He said he preferred either the Eagles or the Seattle Seahawks. And lo and behold, the Houston Texans traded him to the Seattle Seahawks. It was not for what you thought it would be for. You heard the trade offers from Miami. They weren't really official offers, but you heard the speculation that, oh, the name Laramie Tunsil was getting tossed around for Clowney and a first round pick. There were some wild trade scenarios out there. However, Clowney held a lot of the cards by not having to sign his franchise tag if he didn't want to go to Miami. That's what kind of blew this up. You still would have thought, though, even if they had to trade him to a team he preferred, oh, you'd imagine they'd get a second-round pick. They really wanted an offensive lineman. Maybe they'll get a big V-level player, or they wanted a running back or a receiver. Maybe they'll get a Jordan Howard level of player, you know, something like that. And while they did, by trading for Carlos Hyde, they only ended up getting for Clowney a third-round pick, Barkevious Mingo, a first-round bust that is now a rotational 3-4 linebacker, and another young inside linebacker. That's it. That's all they got for Clowney. And I understand they didn't have much leverage. I understand that Clowney did not have to sign the tag. But good Lord, I don't know what Houston's doing. First, they missed out on Andre Dillard by not moving up, and the Eagles jump right in front of them, so they have to take Titus Howard. And then they trade a third-round pick for Duke Johnson, which I like Duke Johnson, but a third-round pick for that is just, I mean, you traded for Duke Johnson what you got back for Clowney. To me, that is insane. I mean, that's really bad. And you get back defensive players, which you didn't need nor want. You kept saying you wanted a running back, a receiver, or an offensive lineman. And then they ended up trading an offensive lineman, a promising young offensive lineman, for Carlos Hyde, who the Chiefs were going to cut anyway. I mean, this is unreal how unraveled Houston is becoming without a general manager. I don't know what that front office is doing, but the fact that they couldn't get anything more for Clowney, a 26-year-old defensive end with that much upside. Look, if they knew they were going to trade him, maybe they should have did it before this whole fiasco came up. Maybe they should have traded him during the year and got more, because this is just not enough value for Clowney. I mean, Frank Clark, in his own right, a guy that needed a new contract, the Chiefs ended up giving a first-round pick to Seattle for him. So here's Seattle now. They're sitting with Clowney over Frank Clark now, which I think is a very small downgrade. But they moved up from a third-round pick to a first-round pick, right? Because they give up a third for Clowney, but they got a first for Frank Clark. So they got Clowney in a first instead of Frank Clark in a third. I mean, this is great for Seattle. They added a much-needed pass rusher after losing Frank Clark and Michael Bennett over the past 2 years, and LJ Collier is hurt and Jaron Reed is suspended. So it's great for Seattle. I just don't know what Houston's doing. And I also wonder, just before we wrap up here, I wonder if Philadelphia, looking back now, if all we had to do was trade a third-round pick in Camus Grigier-Hill, I would have been all for that. Oh my gosh, yeah, let's do Camus and trade him. I mean, maybe Deshaun Hall. I mean, considering what Barkevious Mingo is, I would say that's on the same level as Deshaun Hall, right? I mean, Deshaun Hall, Camus, Grigier-Hill, and a third for Clowney? I'm in on that, because then even if you don't sign him long-term next year, you're going to get back probably a third-round compensatory pick when he cashes in free agency next year. That's the thing. Houston would have got back what they pretty much just gotten the trade if they played Clowney this year, although he could have held out. They'd be getting back essentially what they traded through the comp formula. It's not a good look. I do wonder if Philadelphia would have done this if they knew this was the offer. I just bet Houston, this is how what I think happened. I think Houston was asking for more because they thought they could get a deal done with Miami. They thought Clowney would go there. So they were maybe when Philadelphia did talk to them, I bet the asking price was much higher. Then Philadelphia was not going to be as aggressive about it as Seattle, because all you hot take artists out there that want to say the Eagles need pass rush help, it's simply not true. The Eagles don't believe that, and that's why they probably weren't as aggressive. And then when Houston realized they weren't going to get much more, they took the deal from the team that was probably simply more persistent and more motivated. And I think that was probably Seattle. So yes, would Philadelphia have probably done the deal Seattle did today? Sure. I don't think, though, that's how it worked. I bet when Philadelphia talked to Houston, the asking price was much more expensive. So that's how I think it went down. But at the same time, yeah, if you're asking me would I have done that deal for Clowney to Philadelphia, even with the stuff working out long-term, a contract, can you fit it into the cap? Is he just a rental player? What do you do now with the rotation with Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham? If you're telling me that that's all I had to do to get him, sure, I'll deal with those issues that you could call them, for sure. I don't know what Houston's doing. And then they trade a lineman for Carlos Hyde, who they could have got for free anyway, or even like they could have pursued LeSean McCoy. I don't know what Houston is doing at all. But yes, I do think Philadelphia was interested. I don't think they were persistent enough to get to this point where this kind of offer would have been available. And now here we are, and we move on, and the Eagles have a great front four. So don't let this discourage you. I mean, the fact that they have Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Malik Jackson, and Derek Barnett already there is why PFF rated them as the number one defensive line. So Clowney would have been a luxury more so than a necessity. All right, I think that'll do it. I think I recapped everything, right? I got into the 53-man roster. I got into LeSean McCoy. I got into Clowney. I hope I put your mind at ease a little bit, and I hope you enjoyed today's edition of the podcast. We will be back on Monday. Me and Gino will take a first look at week one against the Washington Redskins. It's football time, ladies and gentlemen. September 1st is tomorrow, which is perfect. The start of September is on a Sunday, and Sunday is now football day for the next 6 months. Louis DiBiase joining you on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, we'll be back on Monday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're not already. And also, if you could rate a 5-star, if you could, we'd appreciate it. And also leave us a review. It's how we can grow the show for you guys and continue to churn out daily podcasts right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also follow us on Twitter as the conversation always continues at DiBiase, LOE. All right. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.